This is Passing Judgment, a podcast about the law and how it affects you. I'm your host, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Think of me as your personal law professor as we navigate the big legal questions of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers. This week, I want to talk about the Supreme Court and a recent decision that it made or didn't make with respect to one of the Trump emergency appeals, an emergency appeal up to the court related to a Trump executive action that was paused. And who better to do that with than Katie Buehler? She is Law 360 Supreme Court reporter. We're going to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court's recent action or inaction in this Trump case, and then also highlight a little bit something that we haven't talked about that much because of all the Trump legal news, but the big Supreme Court cases. So, Katie, thank you for joining us. Thank you for passing judgment.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so Katie, as I was telling you before we started, I think people are really confused by what the Supreme Court did or didn't do last week. We are recording this episode on February 24th, and on Friday, the Supreme Court basically decided, as far as I can see, not to review emergency appeal of a temporary restraining order that a lower court judge put in place to pause the firing of the head of the Office of Special Counsel. Could you help unpack for us, is that correct? Is that what the justices did here? I know there were two justices on one side saying we should take the case and go in one direction, two justices on another side saying we should take the case and go in a different direction. Could you help unpack all this for us?
Sure. So yeah, the Supreme Court basically decided not to decide on reviewing the firing of Hampton Dellinger, who was Biden's pick to head the Office of Special Counsel. The court said that they would let the current order, which is keeping him in office for now, run its course and expire on Wednesday, February 26th. And that's when the lower court will have another hearing to determine if Hampton Dellinger should stay in office longer or whether Trump's firing of him should go through. Justices Alito and Gorsuch said they would have went ahead and stayed the lower court's order that allows Hampton Dellinger to stay in office. Justices Sotomayor and Justice Jackson said they would have just gone ahead and said, no, it's okay, that court order can stand. So it was a little bit of a confusing order. It's kind of what we like to call a punt on the Supreme Court's end, where they decided not to decide, at least right now.
And could you remind us what this case is about? So we know that President Trump tried to fire Mr. Dellinger, as we said, the head of the Office of Special Counsel. Can you remind us a little bit, what is the Office of Special Counsel and the legal argument here as to why Trump wouldn't be able to fire Dellinger? As I understand it, is basically he needs to point to a reason why Dellinger wasn't doing his job correctly. And he didn't do that. He just said, you're out. And what Dellinger is arguing is under federal law, you had to give a reason and you don't have a reason. Is that about what's happening in the lower court?
Yes. So Dellinger was fired by an email early on in the, I guess, a week after Trump was inaugurated. And they gave no reason for his firing. And under the statute that established the Office of Special Counsel, it said that Dellinger could only be fired for negligence or some type of wrongdoing that had to be spelled out. So his argument is that Trump, without pointing to a certain reason, can't just fire him at will.
What is the Trump administration's response to that? Is it, well, we have enough of an answer, or we will provide an answer, or is it that the statute that requires them to give an answer is itself unconstitutional?
So their argument is that the statute itself is unconstitutional. the Justice Department has come out and said that a lot of different statutes for what are called independent agencies, they believe aren't constitutional. They're all based on this really old ruling in the 1930s that said that heads of independent agencies couldn't be removed without cause. So without the administration showing that the official either was neglectful or did something wrong. So they argue that any statute that relies on that ruling in Humphrey's executor, the United States is unconstitutional, and that the president, not just Trump, but the president should have ultimate power to say who works for him in the executive branch.
Right. And it seems like this is an argument, as I understand it, that could be repeating in the sense that various federal statutes that limit the executive's power in different areas, in this case, we're talking about hiring and firing, that those statutes are themselves unconstitutional because the Constitution gives the president the power to say, I'm going to fire you and I don't have to point to a reason. So for listeners, just highlighting the idea that particularly when it comes to personnel decisions, hiring and firing, I think we're going to see more of these arguments that any statute that constrains the president's ability to make these decisions is itself unconstitutional and therefore that any violation is not a problem. Is there anything we should be looking for? Because as we said, the temporary restraining order expires on Wednesday, February 26th. The court has scheduled additional hearings. Is there anything you're looking for or you think we should be on the lookout for in that particular hearing?
I'll be looking for whether the lower court judge addresses some of the issues or questions raised by the two dissenting justices, Justice Alito and Justice Gorsuch, who they wrote a short dissent to the Supreme Court's decision, basically saying that there are several, you know, separation of powers issues, presidential power issues raised in this case, and whether courts should even be allowed to even temporarily tell the president whether he can fire someone or not. So it'll be interesting to see if specifically the court brings that up, either during oral arguments or in whatever opinion or order she will eventually hand down.
That's a really important point, because what we also see is a number of the conservative justices have worked in the executive branch. And so we're talking about Justices Alito and Justice Gorsuch, and they both spent time working in the executive branch. So I'm going to offer that I think part of what we might be seeing are justices who are thinking about their past work experience, and they have been in many ways, I think, very protective of executive authority. So I think that's part of what we might be seeing play out in their dissents. And I think you're exactly right to point us to, you know, how much will the parties respond to their concerns and to their points. So I think that brings us largely up to date on that particular case. Obviously, it's one we're going to be following because it has implications beyond this particular firing to much more broadly the power of the executive. And I'm hoping that because we have you here, Katie, and you are the Supreme Court reporter for Law 360, if you could tell us, as we're hurtling towards kind of the at least second half of the term, what are some of the bigger cases this term that the court has already heard or is about to hear? We've talked a little bit on the podcast about this Gurmetti case dealing with transgender care for minors, but I think it's a great moment to refresh our recollection about some of the bigger cases this term.
So, so far, the biggest one that it's heard is definitely Gurmetti, but it has a few coming up that are pretty big. The one I'm really watching is Federal Communications Commission versus Consumers Research. That one is about federal broadband subsidy program, but it's about more than that. It's about executive power and presidential power and the ability for Congress to delegate power to commissions like the FCC to run programs that they put into law. So that should be an interesting and big case to watch. It will have, if they're, depending on how broad the ruling is, it could have significant impacts across the entire government and how the current federal government is set up. So that will be definitely one that I'm watching, and that's going to be argued in March. So that one's coming up. And there are also some significant religious rights cases coming up. There's one out of Maryland that just got scheduled for late April. So one of the last arguments about whether parents who have religious objections to their children learning about LGBTQ issues or hearing stories about people in that community, whether they can opt out of their children being read books about those issues and those subjects. So that one's a big one. And then there's also a big one out of Oklahoma about whether religious charter schools can receive public funding. That's a big one about a Catholic virtual school. So it's completely virtual, it's not in person, but it's a Catholic school who wants to participate in the state's charter school program. And so far they've been denied that, and they claim it violates their First Amendment rights. So those are two big ones that the Supreme Court will close out the term on.
That last case, all the cases are that you just highlighted are fascinating and important. And the last case, of course, is part of, I think, what we see is a steady march of this court kind of reevaluating the tension between the Free Exercise Clause and the Establishment Clause, and maybe changing the contours, I would argue, a little bit of their concerns, I would say, about making sure that we don't trample on Free Exercise Clause rights. And I think liberal justices, I suspect, will be worried about the Establishment Clause, whereas maybe conservative justices more worried about the Free Exercise Clause. I'm sure I'm painting with far too broad of a brush. So of course, we're going to have to wait and see. But certainly, religious rights and freedom is something that is on the docket, so to speak. And so, Katie, thank you so much for walking through that initial Supreme Court decision in the Trump emergency appeal regarding President Trump's power to fire Mr. Dellinger, the head or former head of the Office of Special Counsel, and highlighting for us briefly some of the cases that we should be looking at this Supreme Court term. So, Katie, thank you so much again.
Thank you for having me.